It's time to go. Get out of here, baby. I gotta do my show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ass to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. But they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't. Tell them this, tell them this, tell them this.
There's no way, no matter what.
Productive day. Trying to get myself together around here, man. A lot of different things going on. I was doing a lot of research today. Found out a lot of crazy information. You know, I don't only do this for y'all, but I do it for me and I do it for the people who really get it. Really are trying to understand the economy of how things really work, you know. Some people just get caught up and either one, don't want to know the truth, or two, are really scared to receive the truth, because if they receive the truth, then they don't want to know what to do with it, nor do they know how to handle it, you know. Most people say ignorance is bliss. And you shouldn't think that ignorance is bliss, because it's gonna come a point in time where you're gonna have to be held accountable for what what you say or what you do. So, you know, no need to be afraid. No need to not dive in. And, you know, I'm going to, Mrs. Dick Gregory is going to say some words for y'all. And he is a comedian, yes. But he is also a civil rights activist. He's been doing this thing for a long time. A couple things I want to say before I start is that African Americans have been I'm trying to think of a polite term. We have been sold up the river. We have given up our spiritual beliefs. We have given up our spiritual ways. We have given up our spiritual intellect based off of things that we feel to be a necessity of life. And I say to my listeners and all the people who will listen in the future, if you are black, please listen to my message. I want you to please listen to my message. We can't blame the white. We can blame the white man for a lot of things. But what we cannot do is complain nor demand anything until the black population becomes unified. In my studies today, I was horrified by things that I have done research on. It did not really come to a surprise to me, because I know there's Uncle Toms out there, or people who are, there's niggers out there who are so, I'm going to use a lot of term, as Americanized, because it's the easiest way to get people to understand. We got these niggers out there that are, I'm not talking about what y'all say is ignorant knowledge. No. Black people, niggas, whatever you want to call them. Listen. We have been Americanized to the point where we do not even know ourselves. And I said this on the show before. We do not know who we are ourselves. Then we take that disgust, that vile putrid of hatred that we have within ourselves because we are black, wishing that we were white. So you've got this white mentality that has been embraced through schools, in institutions, and in the homes, and if our way of thinking, so we think white rather than thinking black. And what is it to be black? Ladies and gentlemen, look, I know I'm getting off on a deep edge, but this is very important that I say this, because it needs to be said. I'm not saying that black men should not date white women. I'm not saying black women shouldn't date white men. I'm not saying none of that stuff. What I'm saying is, in order for the human species to evolve, we have to stop thinking and believing what the white man tells us. I have to break it down to you a little further than that, because some of you guys won't understand what I'm saying. During slavery, it was illegal for black people to read and write. When we were able to read and write, we went to what we known to be the truth at the time. So if we had books, any type of books, the books would come from a narrative or a concept or a thought structure that was of the Caucasian race. It is not until black people became authors themselves and started writing narrative themselves that black people could read other black material. Now, even with that, you have to still realize African Americans did not know their heritage, ladies and gentlemen. So if we wanted to write about where we came from, that has been stripped away generations and generations within slavery. So the only knowledge that the black community could gain was knowledge of the white world. So, yes, we knew Socrates. Yes, we knew Plato. Yes, we knew all the Greek stuff, all the Roman stuff, all the Latin stuff. Listen, so that's where the intellectuals got their concepts from. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a copy. Okay, listen to what I'm saying. We are a copy of the Caucasoid race. Now, there's only three four real races in the world. There's the Caucasoid race, there's the Negrozoid race, there's the Asianoid race, and there's the Mongolian race, Mongolianoid race. There's four races, okay? Within the whole species of the human species. That's what I'm talking about, the human species. And when we talk about different races within the country, that's kind of different. But we're talking about the Homo sapien species itself. There's only four defined races, okay? So, and in these four defined races, I mean, you can find it, you can find this stuff all over the place. But and I want to take a lot of time talking about this stuff, but I need for my listeners to understand this. So when you talk about being black, what does being black really mean? I mean, there is a difference between being educated and being educatedly black. You can go and be Rastafarian, African Zulu Nation all day long. You can grow your dreadlocks out. Listen, we can be as black as we know how to be. That means stick with your race, do black things, listen to black things, be in the black. Listen, but when we talk about who we are as a people of America, black people as Americans, we have to find out who we are. Thus, we don't know who we are. So, I'm going to leave that for, you know what, I'm going to do a segment on that next week. But I just want to give an idea of my brothers and sisters out there, and my white brothers and sisters, my Asian brothers and sisters. Hey, listen, I love you all, but I want you, ladies and gentlemen, to stop being so cookie cutter by the book box, okay? Because if you are cookie cutter by the book box, that means you are already controlled. And you may say, I'm not controlled. Nobody controlled. Listen, your way of thinking has been institutionalized by what they have told you how to act from start to finish. And you may vary every now and then. Hey, listen, you're not the only one. I'm like that as well. But we must break ourselves from that construct. We have to break and find out the truth. And thus, we cannot be ignorant to the truth. If the truth is the truth, then there's nothing to hide. Okay, so as I kick it off, you can follow me on Facebook at george.mango.904. You also follow me at hashtag soundoff9743 on Twitter. You can call in at 347-989-1014. You can follow me and go to my website at soundoffforums.com or .org or .net, whatever. It's on there. To get to the deeper parts of different things, you have to email me, log in to find out the real juicy stuff that I got behind the scenes. And listen, I want people to get information, but I'm not just going to put my stuff out there so, you know, oh, Joe Smo is going to go through and, you know, look, I want people who are real, who want to know the truth. I ain't got time for it. I'm 35 years old. I ain't got time for it. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. What I'm saying is, if you are thirsty, you will come and drink. Ephesians 6, 6 through 13. Not with eye service as man pleases, but the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, doing the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of the person with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all done to stand, and let the church say, Amen. So what I'll do, with no further ado, I'll go ahead and kick off these video clips, and like I said, just bear with me.
Mr. Dick Gregory, please give him a warm, warm welcome.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Let me first say we thank and praise God that we've all made it here safely today. I pray to God that your return and my return will be equally as safe. Let me say thanks to Sister Cynthia for respect for you. We all showed up. Thank you. And thank you for the book. Thank you for what you had to say, all of you. Except it's kind of interesting when I hear people one after another talk about what have happened to civil liberties and all of that. I wonder what you would say if it was Indians sitting in here who ain't never had none. And you ain't gave a damn about. If I broke into your house and killed your mother and father and your wife and children, blame me for it. But once my wife and children start living in that house with me, blame us all. And we black folks live in this house with this thug that stole from the Indians. So you get no special breaks when the final thing come down. And then so many people act like this was a good country at one time and God, but America ain't never been no good. That's an illusion. It is the most filthy, ungodly, unspiritual, heathen nation that's ever been put together in the history of the planet. And the reason they can do what they're doing to you, because you're stupid enough to believe that somebody's going to cut somebody else some slack. And these folks that's up top, not them redneck, nigger-hating crackers, the president of Harvard and Yale and MIT, they couldn't bug your phone without permission from AT&T. Not no redneck, nigger-hating, you-hating thug on the corner. But they easy for you to hate because they can't hurt you. But the ones that will hurt you. So now you worried about bugging. They've been bugging my phone for so long. I'm glad they finally got around to you. But when all of us was trying to tell you what was happening, decent white folks out there, y'all didn't want to believe it, including black folks. That Jack Horn tonight show, you accuse America of bugging your phone, what evidence you have. Every time a nigga can old Bell telephone $35,000 and they gonna cut the phone off, it's tapped. And so who I'm gonna call? The police? I got little getaways of getting even with them. I just call my wife every now and then and read the alphabets all backwards. And they'd be up 3 years trying to crack that code. Huh? Insane. I mean, now that they've taught us and trained us, like you said, can you recognize the terrorists? Even if they look like one. Can you guess when I got to the point I can recognize the terrorists? But I can't recognize drunken pilots that take the wrong one way and kill everybody on the plane except the pilot, like happened 2 weeks ago. So y'all run around, save me from terrorism so you can die from obesity. And how do you really deal with this information without talking about racism and sexism? Huh? Because as long as they're talking about niggas, you believe I'm going to get on a plane and blow myself up, but I get caught by the cops. What can they do to me to make me tell on my partners? And it never dawned on you, that's us doing that. I'm going to say this again. If I'm fixing to kill myself and you catch me, what kind of torture can you give me was worse than what I was fixing to do to myself? But y'all don't see through that. Sexism. They tell you in Europe, London 2 weeks ago, that woman was going to get on the plane with her little two-month-old baby and blow it up. And you nasty enough and filthy enough to believe a mother would do that to her child. I might blow up a plane, but I'm not taking the baby with me. But as long as they're talking about niggas, nobody questions it. And one day, when y'all deal with the real world, y'all know doing that sniper thing, especially you folks that live here, every witness, including the FBI husband of the woman which his wife was killed, every witness said it was a white man in a white panel truck. Every witness, and they arrest two niggas in a car, and y'all go for it. That's what racism would do. Huh? That's what racism would do. Because if everybody's saying it was a white man in a white panel truck and it was two blacks in a car, then I need to go get the witness because they might be part of throwing me off. Huh? Poor little Cynthia, thank God for you. I hope you don't feel bad what happened to you down home. That's just a bunch of fools.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
That's right.
Because this thing have changed. The new is they arrest you. The old, they just shot you in the head like Malcolm, like Martin, like Megger, like Mrs. LaRusso. I mean that Jackson, he had put a group together and raised enough black money to buy the Atlanta Hawks. And he got off the plane that Monday at 9:20 and fell dead. The problem is the Atlanta Constitution, Sunday night, on their website, and somebody kicked it off accidentally, ran the whole story about him being dead before he was dead. So y'all go on and live in this little old cute paper doll world. I don't have no problem with them bebop. I don't give a damn what they say, whatever filth they use. I was born 1932 and there ain't been a dirty profanity word invented since I was born. So where'd you get it from? I called my mother a bitch when I was 9 years old because I heard my daddy call her a bitch. So why you going to grab my ears? You didn't grab his ears. And 3 days later, I hear y'all in that room making strange sounds. Get your hand off me. And all you black folks sitting around because somebody done turned you against your children. What can these niggas say filthy that was more filthy than that blues you wenches listen to about Shake Your Money Maker? Y'all dance to it. You call it blues. The only thing I'm saying, money maker, is you selling that pussy, you whore, and that didn't bother you. Huh? Are you crazy? Because you can never be a racist with your black, but you can have a white racist mentality. How long? Your problem, dear? You mess with white folk business. When I blew up the World Trade Building, that ain't nigga business. And that's what your problem was. Have nothing to do, but you got a blessing coming. Because, see, they was going to put you in jail. See, the grand jury was going to indict you, and then they didn't have to explain how you lost the election. But Patrick Kennedy, I saw him last night. He waved at me. I said, thank you, brother. He smiled. He knows what I'm talking about. Well, had it not been for him, you'd have been indicted. By the same Capitol Police that took you before the grand jury, carried him home. Well, look how clever that white boy is now. He said, yeah, I took this medicine, and the next day I was in bed. Now, hear this now. I thought I was on my way to vote. And everybody laughed, but the United States Constitution says a senator or congressman going to or coming from a vote cannot be arrested by the police. That's what he was telling them. Okay? And even in my imaginary dream, I thought it was, I'm Phil Cup. I think I saw him heading into a bar last night, but I don't know. They can't get you as long as old black woman told me a long time ago. There's a lot of water out there in that ocean, but it can't sink your ship till it gets inside. Don't let it get in there. And so I'll leave you. Somewhere, when you stop and think what you was messing with, and what don't nobody want to talk about is Marvin Bush, the president's younger brother. He owned the company that was in charge of security for the World Trade Building. But the New York Times haven't told you. The little rednecks that you think are a bunch of nigger haters, they didn't know. They'll kill them on the way to get you. And why that's so important, because the number two man in the FBI, John O'Neill, 5 years he knew about Operation Binko. I had all the data 4 years before September 11th. And he was trying to tell everybody in the FBI what was going to happen, the five targets. And they shifted him to New York and put so much pressure on him, he resigned. And then the security company, owned by Marvin Bush, called him. He said, John, I heard what happened, man. I'm really sorry, but we're looking for chief of security for the World Trade Building. Would you like the job? And he said, yes. And they tell us he died that morning. Huh? This is what this game is about. How long? And then they got nerve enough to tell us September the 11th panel suspected deception by the Pentagon. This is 3 weeks ago. They didn't say it when it happened. How long? And so I say thank you, my sister. Thank you. Thank you. Because many of us know what those nights are like when you're by yourself. When you know if you only behaved, you wouldn't hear him saying nasty things about you on the radio. You wouldn't hear black folks debating. See, I don't have them problems because I blame white folks for everything. If I woke up with a hemorrhoid this morning, I'd say white folks did it. Huh? I was cooking me some broccoli the other day and it burned. I looked around, see what white folk got in my apartment. Thank you, Dr. King. And the one beautiful thing about being in this room, I could reflect back to the civil rights movement and I see you. Huh? I see you. Huh? I see you, Mom. I see my man. I see all the people. They weren't, we're lucky. They didn't frame us. They tried. They didn't bust us on taxes. They tried. Ron Brown behaved himself, did everything good, and bullet in the back of his head. And how do I know that? Because the white folks that did the autopsy brought him to me. Huh? The games. And you black folks is equally as guilty because you should know more about the system than these white folks here.
That's right.
Huh? I mean, here's a country that put smallpox in Indian blankets to kill the women and the children, injected 600 black men with syphilis, and you question where AIDS come from? What kind of fool is you? Huh? What kind of God do you think you locked into? I remember when I first got the documents for some white folks that Hoover had sent out the order to kill me. And just as much I love you, I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for you, because I was right in the middle early this morning. My wife, I think she's going to give me a divorce after 47 years. I didn't have no problem with it until white supremacy stepped in and a handful of white boys and a couple of white ladies and some hoes had an astrological convention and decided Pluto ain't a planet. Now, you can laugh if you want. That's law now. Pluto was here before white folks was here. They said you don't exist. And you worry about somebody bugging your phone? You know how far Pluto is from here? They messing around with Pluto. You don't exist, nigga! So I called my wife. Said, I want a divorce. My children questioned me. Why you want a divorce? What am I do to you? Well, see, I married your mother because she had Pluto rising. God keeps giving you your wake-up calls. Keeps giving you the crack in the fabric. Huh? You don't see it if you're angry. You don't see it if you're bitter. You don't see it if you're mean. That's what King was talking about. Love, love, love. Huh? Then you see the crack in the fabric. So when the white folk came and brought me the documents, I gave it to the Chicago Tribune. And it ran front page headline. FBI memo, use mob against Dick Gregory. Didn't bother me. Because if the God I pray to can't protect me against filth, I'd be the first one to say, I'm praying to the wrong God. I called a friend of mine this morning and said, just bought a $7 million house. Jeff, how you doing? He said, I woke up this morning. Hey, nigga, people going to electric chair woke up this morning. If you can't find a better reason for waking up than just waking up, then play sleep. That's what got you in trouble. You woke up to change something. Hmm? And listen, that's what they say. They say, the late J. Edgar Hoover ordered the Chicago office of the FBI to develop counterintelligence measures to neutralize him. This should not be done in the nature of an expose, since you already get far too much publicity. Instead, common, sophisticated, complete, untraceable means of neutralizing Dick Gregory should be developed. I'm still here. Who were dead? And this is the front copy. 8 agents, including the number 2 man, Sullivan. And I didn't know in 1965 that Mark Lane and I would do a book in 1976 that called the Kennedy King Assassination Investigation. And because of that investigation, 6 of these 8 agents was brought in to testify. Not that they was accusing him of assassination. They had either investigated one or both of those assassinations. And all 6 of them died until they got there. Huh? So this is what this is about. Somewhere, when you understand the corruptness of this system and where it's going and how it's going, here we are. United States Public Service. This is the government sending some folks 25 years of service. This certificate is awarded to, then they put the name in grateful recognition of 25. These were the black folks they injected with syphilis, but the first 25 years didn't nobody know it, so they sent them a certificate. That's how vicious this thing is, and nothing has changed. And the only reason you can live badly with this now is because folks like this in this room. Wouldn't it be nice if we could make this a humane society? But in America, when you hear the word humane society, you think of dogs.
That's right.
So do you need to have a convention to find out what this is about? How long? And so again, I just say to you, dear, keep walking tall. Don't worry about it. I don't wish death on nobody, but a whole lot of them after you be dead long before you. Don't worry about a thing. And don't hang around with people in pain, you know. Don't go and get all them other folks that they mess with, you know, like. If I catch my wife or somebody, I don't want to talk with somebody that caught their wife somebody because they say, kill the bitch. See? I want to talk to somebody who's been happily married for 60 years. And say, don't worry about it. She didn't mean it, you know? And so, I'll leave you. Oh, John, know what this is. This is the records of the 111th military intelligence that was sent in to kill King in case the Memphis police lieutenant, Earl Clark, missed. The 111th military intelligence, them some mean, vicious, hoodlum thugs that would kill God if they had the chance. And King knew he was going to die. And King didn't die because of integration or segregation. King died because he was the first black person in the history of America that got in a position to determine public policy. Huh. And they got them all listed in here. A couple of brothers in there, too. It don't make any difference. And so I say to you today, this thing is bigger than we think it is. It used to be a handful of us. It's all of us now. Coca-Cola is on trial in northern Dallas because soda pop have a date of expiration, and when it gets past that date, the stuff turns into a mild poison. And some decent white folks and black folks blew the whistle on them after years of doing their dirt. And then federal court now, because they found out when the whistleblowers blew, that Coca-Cola go to the white stores and take all the expired Cokes out, take them to a warehouse in Northern Dallas, redate them, and send it to the black community. Now, ooh, nothing. Most of y'all so messed up in your head, you drink a bad Coke, you think something wrong with you. Well, there's something wrong with me. Every time I drink this Coke, I get the belching. Huh? No, see why I just say white folk did it. As bad as Coca-Cola is, you think pharmaceutical companies might be doing the same thing? You think they might go get all the medicine that lost all the juice in the white neighborhood and bring back to you and your pharmacy and your doctor, who never suspect this, says to you, your blood pressure has gone up. You're not taking the pills? Sure, I'm taking the pills. Well, you must not be. I am taking the pills. So they give you a higher dose. Huh? And y'all want to act like you live in? But thank God for those of you who's willing. You've almost pulled off a miracle. A democracy, you have to act like you're talking to little children. You know, you got all this old Harvard stuff and all this old kind of stuff. You know, Hollywood gave all y'all a wake-up call. When out of the thousands of songs they had to pick to win, they picked "It's Hard Out Here Being a Pimp." No, but that's a wake-up. That's from the universe. That's, huh? So I got on Al Sharpton's show the next day singing "It's Hard Out Here Being a Pedophile Priest." Oh, that's up there. To see if I'm a win. So we leave here, we lift this sister up. Every day at 12 noon. Lift her up, and you don't pray too long because y'all don't know how to pray. Just a quick fleeing few minutes. And everybody out here, there's a universal. These thugs have the money and the power to make bombs, to kill people. But if I cut my hand, there's nobody on this planet with their money or their power can make a scab. Huh? Huh? Harvard? Yale? None of them can make a scab. Only the universal creator can make a scab. And that scab is not made no different on me than Queen Elizabeth or welfare, ghetto sister or hillbilly white woman. And one great thing you got to always remember, baby, when they get to talking about right and wrong. If Hitler was sitting right here today and Jesus Christ sitting next to him, both of them get the same amount of oxygen.
All right.
There is no force that says that thug do not deserve the same amount of oxygen as Jesus. And so you got these idiots that want to torture people. That's how come I got out the army early. They told me something didn't even make sense. If you get captured by the enemy, give them number, name, rank, and show them. I said, that's on my dog tags. They can get that much information if I'm dead. You got to give me something to negotiate with. Then them white folks won't tell me I'm a traitor. I'm an American. No, I'm not a traitor. This is my third day in the army, and I'm telling you now, call the Pentagon and put on my records, if Dick Gregory ever get caught, y'all change all your used-to-be secrets. Or is there something about a chump snatching my fingernails off and sticking pins in my eyeball and pouring hot water on my back? I tell them where my mama is. And if mama don't understand, she'll understand that hot water hit her back. And so let me leave you with this. This is a FBI document. Huh? FBI document. Here. You think they're doing something when they tap your phone? The relationship between lead exposure and homicide. FBI keeps records. With all you folks in the ghetto that kill one another, it had nothing to do with your blackness. It had something to do with lead poisoning. And then you stupid enough. My son called me. He hooked the crack. Brilliant, you know. Brilliant. He can touch your head and tell you what part of that star Cyrus you came from. He know that a crack do nothing but mess up your melanin. So he called me. I said, son, look, I never smoked a reefer. I don't know anything about crack. I love you, man. If you had a brain tumor, I don't qualify to cut your head. And please don't call your mama. She ain't never drank a beer. I said, but I know you're doing something wrong. Because nobody thinks it's negative about the FDA as I do. And that stuff you're taking is not even federally approved. And most of the stuff the FDA approved will kill you. So you stand on a corner taking some stuff from some criminals and swallow it, and now you want to call me? I don't understand it. And so Roger Masters said this. The only paper ran, it was Thursday, May the 29th, 1997, New York Daily News. Criminal crime is linked to pollution. Polluted water can cause brain damage that turn ordinary people into violent criminals. Researcher Roger Master said at Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire, he compared crime figures from the FBI with information on industrial discharge of lead and manganese. He found a link between pollution levels and murder, assault and robbery. Counties which have high pollution levels have a crime rate triple the U.S. average. So all of this stuff you can't see, but when they start telling you black on black crime, and that should bother white folks. When you ask black folks about what's black on black crime, well, we tired of black folks killing black folks. They didn't say they tired of black folks killing. They said they tired of them killing black folks. Then who be left? And so the simple question is this. Who do you think killing Chinese in China tonight? And if we went to Italy tomorrow, who do you think killing Italians in Italy? And if 98% of all white folks that was murdered in America last year was murdered by white folks, if they're not talking about white on white crime, how do they trick you to talk about black on black crime? You kill where you live. And if you don't want black folk killing black folks, then join the NAACP, the Urban League, give a Jesse Jackson group, and work to integrate this country. And I guarantee you, if I'm living over in this white suburban neighborhood and my old lady make me mad enough to want to shoot somebody, I'm not going to get in my car and drive back to the ghetto. So I say, sister, thank you. Thank you for making a difference. Thank you for waking, not just here, all over the world, people love you. Indians on the Indian reservation, ask her, because she go up there all the time. My oldest daughter was in England, the London School of Economics, and I just happened to be over there because I don't like her too much. No, she's too disciplined. I don't like black folks that want to be validated by a white racist system. Pay your bills on time. Never want to be late for an appointment. Why? What difference does that make? You think it make a difference? Ask Colin Powell. They say, nigga, go to you in the life force. Okay, sir. See, they couldn't get you to do that. And then they found out they can't kill you. What a blessing. And so I just happened to been over there. And I picked up the London Times Monday, May 11, 1987. Smallpox vaccine trigger AIDS virus in Africa. Front page story. And a lot of people make a mistake trying to convince folks of something. Conspiracy theory. No, America's a conspiracy theorist. And so I leave you and I say to you, we can win this. I'm not going to tell you how, I'm going to tell you why. A democracy is a system where the least of us, the most educated, the least educated, the most wealthy, the least wealthy, the most female, the most male. We have a say-so in how we're going to be governed. That's a democracy. Now, you can look at Webster and they keep all that little confusion stuff about this is a democracy. No. A republic is a simple system. It's where a handful of elite aristocratic old men come together and decide what's good for all of us. And that's why I say you have done a hell of a job to make this system work right. Let me leave with this. Raise your hand right here. Repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Fool. This has always been a republic. They teach you that in grade school is a republic. And we've almost made this republic work like a democracy. Because of the decent folks. The folks that's willing to die. We're saying, damn
what you meant for it to be. This is what we're going to make it, and we're not going to trash your laws or nothing like that. And when your last bullet run out, sister, my advice to you is study the cockroaches and study the dinosaurs. Dinosaurs was bigger than mountains. Dinosaurs and cockroaches was here at the same time. Dinosaurs gone, cockroach still here. And if you want to see a dinosaur today, you got to go to a museum. You want to see a cockroach? Just put some stagnant water on the floor, they'll come to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Dick Gregory. He has said so much in here that I hope that you grasp some of this stuff, okay? And so I'm just going to dive deep into it, okay? When the man himself gets documentation saying that the CIA was trying to kill him, what do you think? The reason why I played these clips was because this clip was because it is so essential that people recognize the truth for the truth. Black people are the enemy, y'all. I just got to let you know. I can't. You know I don't beat around the bush. Black people are the enemy. We have been the enemy since the beginning of time when it comes to the humanoid race. Not only do they go and take our, and I say our, African, my African descendant, not only do they take all of the knowledge for themselves and destroy everything that was meant to be for us, but they orchestrated a damn near perfect way to eliminate the knowledge of black people and connecting to who we are. Now, let me sit here and say this first and foremost. I have not dived deep in the division of what they have taken and what they have not taken. I haven't got that far yet. I'm still digging around something else on a different level. And then I loop around, doing a little snooping and going back to the origin. It's a little, my way of doing things. Is it the right thing? I don't know. That's how I'm going to do it. The message that he was trying to deliver to us was that we as black people need to stand for justice. If you don't get that in that speech, he said a lot, but he kept referring to Jesus and he kept referring to King. We both know that Jesus gave us love. Now, once again, for those brothers and sisters who know about the origin of where African spirituality comes from, hold for me a little bit. Don't start jumping up and down yet. He's talking about Jesus. He's not talking about Jesus. I'm going to get around to that. But he talked about Martin Luther King. And Martin Luther King was a peacemaker, and he was about love. Listen, so was all the others who were brutally murdered for trying to change public policy. So you are listening to a man who's been through the storm. He was there before the storm. He was weathering it. He grew up through it. He had to fight through it the way in order for him to break free so we can be who we are now. And black people, I'm telling you this. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Should be ashamed of yourselves. Because we have learned and we have been intentionalized and controlled in the way of our thinking by a institution that has been enslaving us mentally for thousands of years. Why is it that every young black man wants to hang out with white kids? Well, one would say, well, because they're colorblind. Then why is it that this young black man has all of a sudden taken his life and transformed it into a white holistic lifestyle? He grows up, he dates white women, he goes to white places. He thinks that he is white mentally in the mind. The illness, that is what it is. It is an illness that black men have from young, being young, that is embedded in their brains, that must, in order to be successful, in order to succeed, they need to be white. Now, I'm not referring to this to be the rule. I'm referring to those who it matters to. Now, this is what bothers me. I was doing my research today, and I wasn't going to talk about it, but since he brought up making a difference and going to these organizations, he brought it up, so I'm gonna speak on it a little bit. I went searching. I had this old video about the bougie conspiracy, you know, about the black sororities and all that stuff. Okay, guys, listen, I have to do a different piece on that. But what I will say is this: I found out that the I found out that if you don't know this gentleman, his name is Whitney Young. Okay, his name is Whitney Young. And if you don't know who he is, he was doing the Johnson administration and doing the civil rights movement. They all made him the executive president of the Urban Negro League. Okay? Now, you ask, okay, what's suspicious about that? Okay? Well, did you know that one of his friends was John Rockefeller? And we all know the Rockefellers. We know who they are. We know what they do. I did in my research, it comes to find out that Mr. Whitney was being paid by the Rockefellers. Now, you say, well, where is all this coming from? Okay. It is coming from a book, because it was about the Rockefeller family that was put in the footnotes about the civil rights movement. And basically, Whitney was talked into being the front head for the Urban League and also for the NCAACP until they could find an executive president for that organization. Meanwhile, the funding for those organizations Now, there was a white man that was in charge of the Urban League before he got there. Okay? And so what they wanted to do was put a black face on it, so they put him there. Now, I don't know how many of you guys know this. I encourage you to do your own research, because I did mine. But just look for it and try to connect the dots as you will. But my question is this. We have a highly intelligent black man and Mr. Whitney Young Jr., Monroe Jr. himself. And he was a professor at Omaha and Cranston University. And he got a what they call a Rockefeller grant to go to Harvard to study law. And this is where, you know, the connection with the Rockefellers come into place. But my question is this for my listeners. It is 1964, the heartbeat of the civil rights movement, and we have a puppet sitting in an organization that was supposed to have been created, controlled, and uplifted by black people. How then can you say we were really making a difference? Now, I'm not saying that we didn't. I'm saying, how could we legitimately believe in organizations that are being, listen, not only backed, but be created? Let me say it again. Not only backed financially, but created by white people. I don't know how you take that, but I take that to be offensive. Not only growing up do they say, you know, the NCAACP was this, the Urban League was this, and all that, and we are just like, yes, we've got an organization that is for black people. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been bamboozled. We have been fooled. We have been begotten. We have been betwixt. Because the Rockefellers did not want Mr. Young to talk about certain situations. Now, even though he did front like he was friendly, let me pull up this thing. Listen, let me pull up this because it is really weighing on me. And I told you I wasn't gonna talk about it, but it's just it has made me. Oh boy. It has brought fire to the pits of my stomach because it is unrealistic to believe that, okay, so this is the National League of the Urban Conditions Among African American Nonpartial Civil Rights Organization based in New York City that advocates on behalf of African Americans against racial discrimination in the United States. Now, first of all, you have this logo of the National African League, the National League of African, the NUL, is a circle and an equal sign. Now, for those who don't know about symbolism, okay, we know that 360 degrees. And then you've got the equal sign that represents a satanic symbol of the mark of the beast. It drives me crazy. I'm on a uproar of being upset here. So, Mr. Whitney, it says within 4 years, he expanded the organization from 38 employees to 1,060 employees, and from the annual budget of $325,000 to $6,100,000. And he served as the president until his death. Listen, it says, despite his reluctance to enter politics himself, Young was an important advisor to presidents of Kennedy, Johnson and Nixon. We know, okay, listen, I'm about to lose my mind. We know that those administrations, including Ford's administration, I mean, after Nixon, Ford's administration was corrupt. When it comes to black policy, okay, now this, I'm going to get to the black policy in a minute. Hold on. It says, despite their close personal relationship, Young was frustrated by Johnson's attempt to use him to balance King's opposition to the increasingly unpopular Vietnam War. Young publicly supported Johnson's war policies but became opposed to the war after the end of his presidency. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, whew, a lot's going on here in my mind. It's spinning. Not only do we have a puppet Negro in a very influential position that is supposed to be for the Negro or the Negroid race, humanoids, but this puppet is being controlled not only by the oil-rich, money-grubbing, scheming Rockefellers, but he is using his influence in order to influence black people that do not have power. That means people who have a lower income, people in the middle class, people who are in the up and ups, entrepreneurs. We're talking about early 1960. Huh? Early 1960. Except 71. Ladies and gentlemen, that is disgusting. I tell you why it's disgusting. Because our brothers and sisters are dying each and every day. And we have Negroes like that that are in the back pocket of the president and doing nothing to improve it. Now, notice when Mr. Gregory was talking, he said Hoover wanted to kill him, but not give him as much publicity because he's already getting publicity. So they wanted to kill him on the low. But he escaped that, right? So Whitney is sitting in a position, and I'm talking about, listen, when you is in the back pocket of the president, and you black, and black people are still suffering, okay, let me drop this nugget on you, right? Also in this footnote, it said that John D. Rockefeller got upset with Whitney because he opposed what happened in South Africa. Now, let me pull that up. It's called Sharpeville Massacre, okay? The Sharpeville Massacre occurred in March 1960 at a police station in South Africa township of Sharpeville in the Transvaal, today's Gigani. After a day of demonstrations while a black crowd protested far outnumbered the police, the South African police opened fire on the crowd, killing 69 people. Sources disagree about the behavior of the crowd. Some state that the crowd was peaceful, while others state that the crowd had been hailing stones at the police that was shooting started when the crowd started advancing toward the fence around the police station. In present-day South Africa, 21st is celebrated as the police public holiday in honor of the human rights and the commemoration of the Sharpeville Massacre. Okay. So now, Remember this movement, this African movement, was not only based upon America. I want you to remember that, guys. You remember when Malcolm was trying to do his thing? Malcolm said it's not just the American Negroes, it is every Negro on the planet. He tried to make it an issue so we could get every wise right, because the Africans everywhere were being discriminated against, y'all. And what did he do to them? They silenced them. You tell me right now, what American, African-American activist that supposedly speaks for black people, who supposedly listen to us black people, talks about South Africa, talks about Haiti, the Dominican Republic? Not one. See, we have been neutralized. We have been brainwashed. We have been given the golden ticket, ladies and gentlemen. See, black people, it is not about materialistic things. We can have houses and cars and all this stuff, but we cannot have political, social, and economic control. If we ever get that, that is what they're afraid of. They're not afraid of no nigga with a car. They're not afraid of a nigga who got a $1 million house. They're not even afraid of a nigga that got $10 billion. You know why? Because they don't control nothing. Jay-Z is worth some ungodly number, right? We all know he's part of the Illuminati. But Jay-Z is not running things. Okay, listen. We got President Obama. President Obama is half white. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not black. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he is not. He is African. His dad is African, okay? So he's not African-American. Notice what I'm saying. He is an African man. African man with an American mother, who is, by the way, their lineage connects to a lot of people anyway, okay? So as you bear with me, Barack Obama is African, and he's American. He is not African-American. Some people could debate me on that. Whatever. Who cares? What I'm saying is there has never been a nigga going to be in the White House. You hear me? Full-blood, slave descent, dark skin, dreadlocks. You hear me? Listen, the importance is if you get a black man, a real black man who understands poverty. Listen, I'm not saying Obama never went through nothing, but when you go to the best schools and you graduate from a great school and you are a prodigy. Look, boy, I found this list. And I'm going to post it on my website. I found this list of people who are in the same fraternity that he's in. Now, this is the interesting thing about this fraternity. Peyton Manning is in that fraternity. And he's a football player. I'm going to do a little bit more research on these people. But people that are on that list, George W. H. Bush, Susan Rice, Condoleezza Rice, Bobby Jewell, the governor of Louisiana, George Stephanopoulos, is on there. The same a few, but he's a reporter on CNN. Or he used to be. He might be on Fox. So look, like Mr. Gregory said, listen, it's not a conspiracy, because the stuff is true. How can that be a conspiracy? Just because it doesn't affect you right now? Oh, no, ladies and gentlemen. The reality is this. We need to know, I should say, you should know that we are at a time you have to pick sides. And that's either going to be the side of truth or a sign of ignorance, and you just don't give a damn. If you just don't give a damn, this show is not for you. It's not. Because you, I wouldn't say it's not for you. If you want to listen, that's fine. But listen, I'm coming down with some factual information. When the man, when Dick Gregory says that he had documentations of the autopsy that was done on King, and that if the plan had failed, what they would say about King's assassination. When you get documentation and you can prove it, why can't people accept it to be true? Why is it that the United States government, and we talked about that syphilis case, the Tuskegee syphilis case on the show. 25 years of service, they send their families. Huh? 25 years of service. Thank you. After 25 years of service, thank you for serving your nation. And you're okay with that? Illegally injecting over 200 black men with syphilis to do as an experiment and was never told. You think that's moral? Even deeper question, you don't think they would do that to you? Oh, no, they would never do that to you. You're an American. You pay taxes. You're a law-abiding citizen. They would never do that to you. They only do it to bad people like terrorists. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you who are terrorists. Let me tell you who are terrorists. There's a story that we often reflect on in our history, our beloved Thanksgiving time, where Christopher Columbus had sailed the seas. He went through the West Indies, did all these different things, didn't even touch America, but we celebrated. Okay, that's a lie there. But we talk about the pilgrims. Now, I don't know how the two stories connect, because they don't connect at all. But we associate Christopher Columbus and Thanksgiving on the same month. We give him a collaboration. We say thank you, Mr. Columbus, for finding America and giving us a reason to celebrate. Where he went and raped and pillaged the heathens of his time. Oh, yeah, they were heathens because they were monsters. They were savage civilization. They didn't know the common queen's tongue. They could not be controlled. They were warriors. They were fearful. They scalped people. There was no good. They were evil. They were the devil. So that gave us the justification to wipe the whole entire race out. See how that works? Okay. Now, we're going to come to America. Great America. We settled with the pilgrims. We asked them hey, can we have your land? They said, you cannot take the land, for the land is not ours to give. So they said, okay, well, damn it, we're going to blame it for ourselves. And they continue to say, no, you cannot do that. This is my version, okay? So they say, okay, well, if you don't do what we say, we're going to make you do what we want you to do. So we're going to wrap our blankets with smallpox, and we're going to pretty much destroy who you are. And after we destroy who you are, we're going to take your land anyway. But for those who are smart, they know they should join allegiance with us, because you can't win. We've got guns. We've got these weapons you've never seen before. We can shoot cannons on the plane, from the sea to the land. You cannot win this. So, you get your Indians who will turn their back on their race, who feel like they need to protect their race, and they help out these dirty Americans. Well, they break bread together. They teach them how to farm. They teach them all this stuff. Then, on top of that, they say, well, we want to expand our civilization on this continent. But how can we do this? They say. There's natives everywhere. Well, they said, hey, no problemo. We ask them to leave, and if they don't leave, we'll kill them all. Because God said so. Okay. So, they go, and we have the Trail of Tears. Now, nowhere in this story do you hear anything good. But yet and still, you're saying that the United States government will not do anything to hurt you? I don't know what planet you live on. Please tell me what planet you live on, because that is not what I call Christian in the name of Jesus. Jesus ain't never said come over to go over there and conquest. Okay. I hope y'all still with me, because, ladies and gentlemen, the pot's going to get thicker and thicker each week. And it is important that we readjust our thinkings. Because, listen, it is not only for me to rethink my thinkings, but it's also for you to rethink your thinkings, because it is important to our civilization as a human race. If we continue to do nothing, the birds, the beasts, the fish, the mammals, all everything will be destroyed. Not by us, but the greedy corporations who want to do whatever the hell they want to do. And then they'll say to you, if we don't do it, then the economy will suffer. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to stop drinking that breast milk and understand one thing. The elites would not let that happen unless they could make profit off of it. So, if the stock market doesn't crash yet, is because they can't make profit because of a certain thing. I don't know what it is, but they just can't make profit. And until they can come up with a scheme that would allow them to correctly crash the stock market, which they have done. Go look it up. Was that dude J.P. Morgan? The one y'all put y'all money in? The one y'all put y'all loans on? Y'all better watch where y'all put y'all money. You better find out who J.P. Morgan is. They not in your best interest. They are not. tycoons will take you for everything you got. And they could care less if you make it. But it's not here nor there. So I say to you once again, do you not believe that they won't do it to you? Because you're a good citizen and you pay your taxes? They don't give a two hell of a beans about who you are as a person. All they know is you're in the way and they have to eliminate you somehow, some way. And how can they do that, ladies and gentlemen? How can they do that? They can do it many of ways. Mr. Gregory brought up the Coca-Cola plant. Did some research on that. Now, for those who don't think this is true, I guess obviously this won't affect you, silly people. If it hadn't already happened, it probably will start happening. Now, so Dick Gregory says that they were under lawsuit because that they were delivering in the black community outdated Coca-Cola. And that Coca-Cola, when I read the article, said they didn't know anything about it. And if these people were doing that, they were doing it against their knowledge. Now, who do we believe? Let's go down a trail of investigation, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's investigation night. We all know how corporations are greedy. And it's not unusual for corporations to do something that's very dirty. Now, you could say, well, George, you're only speculating. So? So what's wrong with that? I mean, because obviously, if I don't speculate and make you want to think, you're not going to think for yourself. Because for years, people have been saying, you know, they've been doing this to the black community, doing this to the black community. It comes out, it's like, oh, I didn't even know that was happening. Listen, that's not because you didn't want to know. It's because you didn't care. So today's care night. Okay? So as we go and we look at this scenario, ladies and gentlemen, it was said that this company in Fort Worth, Texas, would come and they would use Windex and take off the expiration dates on the box or the bottles or cans or whatnot, and then restamp the new dates on it. Now, the man who was a whistleblower said that he was doing it for years, and he kept saying, why are we doing this? We can't do this. It's not legal. Blase, blase, blase. And he was told to shut up and do his job or he wouldn't have one. So obviously, you know the man was white. And so he would drop dimes to the vendors to tell them, hey, tell your customers not to drink this because I can't tell you why, but just tell them, try not to sell these cases of soda. Now, what would happen was the gentleman said he would get to the warehouse, they would restock, reload it, and if the cans or the bottles was not bent, broken, or unsealed, or the boxes were fine, then all they would have to do was just take off the dates and then redo the dates. And that's how they got away with selling it. Now, Dick Gregory made a funny comment about it. He says, you know, you always say, oh, man, something wrong with this Coke or it's flat, you know, ooh, it's making me belch and all this stuff, not even knowing that you are probably drinking a contaminated drink. So my question is, ladies and gentlemen, we don't even know what we're buying these days. And it was in a black neighborhood, but the question is this. Hey, white people go all over the place. What about they that so happened to stop at one of those shops and pick themselves up a bottle of that stuff? Then not only did it affect the black community, but it's affecting the white community as well, because if they stop by, they might know somebody in those neighborhoods. They didn't say it was, they said black community. It didn't necessarily say it was in the hood. So I believe we need to re-look at things in a different way. And remember, things are not absolute. Not absolute at all. There's a couple things that are absolute. You're going to die. You're born and you die. That's absolutely for sure. But I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, to just revisit some things. Some things that you think that's not kind of right. And just really kind of like bugs you and doesn't really make sense. It's not against the law to do your own investigation. Now, if you're a whistleblower, we thank you for doing that kind of. I know in the black community they said, you know, don't snitch. But look, if it deals with life and death, you need to snitch. You need to blow that whistle because, look, people, innocent people are dying because of a crooked world that we live in. And if you are okay with the society that we live in, like I said, listen, it does not bother me. You don't listen to my show. I'm going to continue to do what I have to do. And that is to inform my listeners who want to know the truth, to get the truth, to try to understand the truth. And you can get it from anywhere. I'm not saying that my sources are better than somebody else's sources. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm going to give it to you pure and raw. And I'm not here to make money. I don't need people to buy ads. I don't need to sell ads. I don't need none of that stuff. I do what I need to do. Get off. Get back on. And work it out. And I know a lot of people say, well, how do we know he's telling the truth? Well, you don't know until you do your own research. And when you do your own research, you can determine the truth of the matter. I'm here as a facilitator. I'm here to educate where I can, do the best that I can, and get you thinking. Get you thinking. Because if we don't start thinking on our own and having our own idea of what life is really about, ladies and gentlemen, then we're a bunch of robots. And let me say this as well. Because you think you are in control. Look, CeeLo said it best in that song, Crazy. He said, ha ha, you really think you're in control? If you're still plugged in to the Matrix or to the establishment and you think you're in control, then you're fooling yourself. For an example, we can go anywhere we want. We can do anything we can do because we are Americans, right? But once you start to make the world a better place, you find yourself getting doors closed in front of your face. And why is that? Because I believe we call that business as usual. And when it's business as usual, people do not like to, other people shaking the boat. Why? Because they don't want to clean up the mess. Oop, I dropped that big jug of water on the ground. I'm not cleaning it up. You clean it up. Well, all right, I'll clean it up because somebody's got to do it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our mentality. These corporations go and they rape and they pillage. They do all these crazy things in the world. And then they come behind and say, save the world. Please give to these children in foreign countries because of one penny a day. One penny a day will get them something to eat. Those children never see that penny. Never see that penny. But yet we give because we love. But you won't even give in your own country. If you really want to make a difference, ladies and gentlemen, why don't you go to an orphanage, donate $1,000 so the orphanage can have something. Now, you can't dictate them how to you spend the money, but you know you gave it to them. And hopefully when you go back to go visit those children, you see a little difference, a little change. But you know our economy is a lot tougher. And $1,000 don't stretch like it used to. I'm just asking, ladies and gentlemen, that we do our part. And when we do our part, we got to make sure that we do it to the best of our ability. Your ability may not be the best, same as my ability. Nobody going to frown upon you because you're trying to make a difference. But if you're trying to change public policy, ladies and gentlemen, and you start shaking the tree, that's a different story. There's too many sad endings to these stories that we see. Because we want to change public policy. Because we do not want to still see the same BS from the time that we are 12 to the time that we pass away. We want something new. We want to make a change. We want to make a difference in this place. And we can't make a difference if it's business as usual. See, all the civil rights leaders, white, black, whatever, Chinese, Hispanic, Native American, all those people who may try to make a difference, who tried to rattle the tree, was exterminated. And the reality is, we can't be afraid to be exterminated in the sight of justice. Because Dick Gregory said, if we are afraid, then what kind of God do you serve? It's important that we look at life as a journey and a purpose. We're not just born take up space. We're not born to live and die. We are born to make a difference. I don't know what difference your plane is, but whatever it is, you have to do it to your fullest ability. And it's rough and it's tough sometimes. But it's important to do your part. If you don't know what your part is, you can wait to find out. But then my question is how long do you wait? And wait. And wait. And wait. You remember that song by Sam Cooke, Change Gonna Come? Now, that song has been remade and remade and remade over and over again. Right? But when he sang that song, you could hear the misery, the hurt, the heartache he was feeling. Because he truly believed that he would see a change. And whatever change that he thought he was going to see, he knew it was beautiful. He knew there had to be something better somewhere, some way. He couldn't live his life the way it was then because it just didn't make sense to him. With the emotion and the feelings that I felt when he sang that song, that young man was pouring out his energy, his life force to us to let us know we need to keep strong and keep fighting on. You know, he starts off the song very beautifully. He said, I was born by the river in a little tent. Ladies and gentlemen, that's very significant. He gave a description of him being born by a river and growing up in a tent. And you say, George, so we grew up in a tent. So what? He was letting you know that he went from a tent to success. And even at his pinnacle point of success, his brother told him he wouldn't help him. And he was talking about his black brothers. Listen now. I'm going to go ahead and upload this song. Matter of fact, I'm just going to play it on here. And if y'all can't hear it, then I'm going to try to do something else. But I'm going to find that song, and I'm going to play it for y'all. Because the lyrics in there talks about what Dick Gregory talked about. And it talked about what I talked about. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Now, bear with me because I'm not going to... that song because, as I said before, he sang it with so much conviction, y'all. He said, I was born by the river in a little tent, and oh, just like the river, I've been running ever since. And he believed that when he said, I mean, listen, when we don't understand about the times where black people weren't allowed to live in the city, they weren't even allowed to be in the city limits, some in some states. So when he said he was born by a river, I believe he was born by a river in a tent. He said, I go to the movies and I go downtown. Somebody keeps telling me, don't hang around. And who could that be? I wonder. Then I go to my brother and I ask my brother, help me please. And he said he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Listen, whew, let me finish this last line. There have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I love this song because of the richness, the love of this content song. And he says, I go to my brother and I ask my brother to help me, please. But my brother keeps knocking me. What are you talking about, y'all? He's talking about those snakes. The snake in the grass. Those niggas who don't like niggas. Those people who don't like being black. Who wish they were born to be white. And you may not think it, ladies and gentlemen out there, but there is them Negroes out there who hate being black. Now, that's none of our fault. But they will sell their souls. They will sell their dignity. They will sell their blackness for a chuck, for a vanilla scoop. Y'all think I'm crazy. I know y'all do. But I want to reassure you that it is real, ladies and gentlemen. This is what the sickness that we're dealing with, the mentality of wanting to be something that we are not. This is the sickness that has been put upon us. Because we were taught that we weren't worthy. We were told, as young black men, you'll never amount to nothing. We're told to be carpenters. We're told to be something that we would never achieve. And when we get there, on the way, we lose our blackness. Come on, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Black people, y'all know what I'm talking about. Let me ask you a question for my ladies and gentlemen out there. Listen. Not unless you are surrounded by other black people. I'm talking about black people with money now. Old money. I'm not talking about that Rudy Pooh money, y'all just, you know, these new millionaires. I'm talking about old black money. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The one who sold their souls to get where they at. Those type of people. Listen. So you got these Negroes telling other Negroes they no good. Because they too dark. Then you got the dark Negroes who make it, who are ashamed to be Negroes, and they want to do a shake and bake on you. It's real, y'all. It's real. It's real. Don't let people tell you that it ain't, because you're being deceived and you're being fooled. But I say we must take back what is ours. I'm not talking about nothing but our minds. The way we think. The way we appreciate black women. The way we talk to black women. The way black women are looked upon in the society. They deserve dignity and respect. Who are we, black man, talking about? I don't like black women because they're angry. Well, shit, they should be angry. B- Because we have been so desensitized by the white society, we don't think that we're nobody unless we get ourselves a white woman. And even when we get ourselves a white woman, guess who most of our friends are? White. We go to white functions. Our mulatto kids grow up around white people. When they get around black people, they don't know how to socialize. They don't know how to... They're black again. But listen, this is something we must get out of us, ladies and gentlemen. We've been niggerized. We've been played. We've been fooled. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, call me. We can talk it out. Drink it out, stab it out. Hell, I don't care. But you got to get this mentality straightened. We cannot give another minute nor a second to this illness in our brains. And if you don't think that you are sick, black man, you look in the mirror, you tell yourself that you love yourself. Tell yourself you love what you look like. Look, I had a disturbing, I'm almost running out of time. I was in a counseling session one day, and I was told that black men beat white women because of what they did to them in slavery. I don't know what kind of BS that is, but that's what I was told. I was asked, do you beat your wife well if you don't beat your wife I was told the reason why you could beat your wife is because black men are angry at white women because of slavery. Do you see the mentality? I'm going to have to do a whole show about that. Because that don't make no sense, right? But it's the same sickness that I'm talking about. It's a sickness, y'all. I do not condone beating nobody for nobody. But when I tell you that these black folk is sick, 90 seconds. They're sick. My name is George Beverly. I thank you. I appreciate y'all for listening in. I'll see y'all next week. We should have some happening shows. I love you. Next time I hear you, you should be signing off. I'm George Beverly Jr. Good night.